Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry, and I am honored today to have as my guest, Brother Alex Sam, joining us all the way from Pokhara, India. Brother Alex and his wife Sunita have founded Everett Mission Charitable Trust, a community of Christ-centered individuals that reaches out to the orphans, the destitute, and marginalized people of India. Welcome, Brother Alex.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. It's a privilege. And thanks for the technology that I don't have to be in the U.S. for this interview.
Well, we're so thankful for this connection and for your willingness to use this technology and be with us today. Brother Alex, you were an orphan yourself growing up in a Christian orphanage in India. Would you share with us about that time in your life?
To be very honest, I'm thankful to the orphanage where I grew up. Because if they wouldn't have taken care of me, I would have ended my life on the street. I would have been a kind of rowdy or kind of a person who is not in the Lord and bad for the society. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I grew up in the orphanage. But there were things, like I felt, still growing up in the orphanage, I felt that I'm an orphan. I realized that food is there, clothes is there, education is there, but rarely family atmosphere or family love. We had love from our leaders. But that was when they were there, and rarely they were there.
Yes, and you were a double orphan, having both of your biological parents had died. So describe what that feels like.
I have not seen both of them. And moreover, I don't know their name also. And as for the Indian culture, where I grew up, it's not something very neat or something very great, not knowing your father and mother's name. And it was much embarrassing when I, as I was growing up, that I don't know who is my father, who is my mother. And I'm thankful at the same time for the orphan's leader who helped me to understand Psalms 27:10, that when your father and mother leave you, God will take care of you. Mm. And still, as I grew up, when I have my own family, when I am in the ministry, sometimes I sit down and I think, if I had parents, I would be taking care of them, and they would be standing with me as a moral support. So I really miss them, and I don't know what to say. I never experienced having parents.
So now, Brother Alex, there came a time when you ran away from Emmanuel, the Christian orphanage where you lived. And you lived on the streets of Mumbai. What was it like being a street kid? What was that time of your life like?
I still remember that was not the first time I ran away. I ran away many times from the Emmanuel. And that's where I say that I broke the record of prodigals, and he ran away once. I ran away many times. And every time I ran away, I would be brought back into the campus, and I'll have a heavy discipline. So that will make me more hardened, that I have to run even more further. So once I got into the train, I locked myself into the washroom, and the washroom was so nasty. And that time I did not realize how far it was, the train journey. But today I know it was almost 16 to 17 hours from the washroom. And when I opened the gate of that washroom in train, I reached Mumbai. It was full of struggle, and I didn't know people there, and I never seen skyscrapers, big buildings, and people walking shoulder to shoulder. But it took time, but I was settled down there. I had few friends with the same age, We used to take small broom, go inside the train, broom the train, beg for our food, sometimes on traffic signals, wash the car windows and beg for our food and beg for money. And we knew a few places where we can get free food from the hotels and from the running train. So we will always approach them. But that was not the end of my street life. Slowly, slowly, I ended up as a street vendor. Then as a child gang leader, we used to do things which we are not supposed to do, smuggling marijuana and all those things from one place to another, selling alcohol, so many things. At that time, when I see had a money flowing, life was cool. But today, when I realize for many years I seen like that, I have wasted a big part of my life and I have spoiled my life that way. But today, when God has saved me, I take it as a different angle that that was a training period for me to understand what is to be called abandon on the streets, why children are there, how I can identify them with me.
So, yeah, you ran away from the Christian orphanage, ended up in Mumbai, where you really lived on the street, begged, but eventually began living that street life, that criminal life. But that really was a time that God used to train you so that you can now identify with the orphan and with children on the street. But
Yes. Like
the prodigal son, you returned to Emmanuel Orphanage, the Christian orphanage that you'd spent many years in. So tell us about what God did in your life then to bring you off of the street and to him.
I still remember it was not a one-day conviction for me. I came to my senses many times, but I never returned. I still remember I used to go to a church in Malad, Mumbai. The pastor was from the same Bible college where I grew up as an orphanage. So I just go for show off, and he will take time and share that this is not the life God wants from you. So one day he told me that Dr. Emma Thomas is coming to Mumbai to inaugurate a church. And Dr. Emma Thomas is the person, is the leader, is the God-man who brought me, who took care of me in orphanage. So I decided to go and meet him, and they took me. And I still remember I'm standing at the end of the church building, and he was preaching. He was preaching, and while preaching, he said, I have a son who lives in Bombay. And I thought he's speaking about his own son, Dr. Samuel Thomas. And then he said, I don't know what he does in Bombay. Then I was amazed, how come he don't know what his son does in Bombay? And then suddenly he called my name. I was not that neat. I was little dirty. My hair was long. I had a packet of cigarettes on my pocket. And I was armed, and he just called me, and I knew that his hand will go direct into my pocket. So I just folded my hands near my neck. I went to the front. He kept his hand on my shoulder, and he said, he's my son. Mm. And that was really touched my life, and I said, he's a God man, and he's still ready to forgive me in spite of my running away habits. And I came back out of the church, and his son, Dr. Samuel Thomas, was standing there. And don't know what to talk, I just went with a straight question, and I said, can I come back? He said, yes, you can always come back. And suddenly, I forgot. And after 6 or 7 months, I was selling some things on the running train. And I had full of tobacco in my mouth, and suddenly I seen a man standing in front of me, and he is Dr. Samuel Thomas, and they are known as Hope Givers International in USA. I didn't know what to do. I just took all the tobacco inside my stomach, and I hided my mouth because it will smell, and I asked same question, and he said yes. I said, Bhaiya means big brother, and I said, can I come back? He said, yes, Alex, you can always come back. And that time, I called that encounter with God's man, which brought me back to the Emmanuel. Then also, it took 6 months. I was watching one of my friends dying in the hospital. I was there cleaning his back, which had a very big hole, and which was very smelly. I was realizing that, is it the end of my life? And I decided that I will not tell any one of my street friends where I'm going, when I'm going, because every time I tried, they convinced me that I should stay back. I just set on train, went back to Kota, Rajasthan, and went into the... I was standing outside, to be very honest, and I did not have, even though I had full of guts in Mumbai, I used to fight a street fighter. But when I came to Emmanuel Orphanage back, I did not have enough guts to go inside the office. I remember one of our senior brothers, Trevor D. Linares, he came and asked, Alex, what you're doing here? And I said, I want to meet Dr. Samuel Thomas. He said, then go inside. I said, in one condition, if you join me. And I'm happy he was willing to do that. And he came with me inside the office. And Dr. Samuel Thomas asked what I was doing. I straight started crying. I told him everything I did on the streets of Mumbai. He said me two sentences. The first thing he said was, Alex, you're welcome back. And second, he said that God forgives and he still loves you. And I knelt down there, recommitted my life to the Lord. He prayed for me. That's how my... second phase of my life was started.
And then from there, you went to Bible college?
I didn't know that I could study Bible college because I did not have any formal education. I studied in when I was 5th or 6th or 7th grade. You know, many times I ran away from here and there. So I thought because I don't have much education, I might be working in printing press. So... I started working in printing press, and one day Trevor came and said that there is a short-term Bible class in Delhi. Would you like to go and join? I said yes, and that's an opportunity I grabbed. Came back to Kota after Delhi's 10-week course, and they allowed me. I still remember I went to Dr. Emma Thomas Chamber, the chairman, and I said, Papa means Dad, I want to study. And he said like this, Son, this is your dad's college. Go and sit in the class you want to study. Mm. And I was so happy. And they allowed me to continue with my Bible college. Graduated from there and started serving the Lord with them for several years.
And also that was the time in your life that you met and married your wife, Sunita?
Yes, my wife has both parents. And she grew up in same orphanage where I grew up. And while after my graduation, I knew before my graduation, but after my graduation, I went straight to her and I asked if I could marry her. She's sitting here and laughing. So then she said, I have to ask her parents. That's the time I came to know she has parents. Still, she is an orphanage. And it worked out. We got married. And it's been 14 years.
Wonderful. Well, let me just remind our listeners that you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about foster care, adoption, or global orphan care, visit us at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is Brother Alex Sam, founder of Everett Mission Charitable Trust in India. Everett Mission was founded in 2008 and serves the orphans, destitute, and marginalized people of India. Brother Alex himself was an orphan and a street kid until the Lord led him back to the Christian orphanage that he'd grown up in. And you can read Brother Alex's story in his book, The Wide Roads of Mumbai. Brother Alex, how could our listeners get a copy of your book?
It's very easy. They can go to Amazon and just write The Wide Roads of Mumbai. They have paperback as well as they have e-book. And I will encourage listeners to buy the book because that book will give you more about my life story, and same time, the funds we get from the book helps our ministry in Pakur, India.
And I've read your book. It's an incredible story of your life and what God has done in your life. So our listeners can go to Amazon.com. The name of the book is The Wide Roads of Mumbai. And you can get an ebook, but if you get the paperback, it helps the ministry that Brother Alex has started there. So let's talk about your work with Everett Mission Charitable Trust. Tell us about how you reach out with God's love to make a difference among the hopeless there.
When I was working with Emmanuel, as I said before, known as Hope Givers International in USA, they're my family, and it was very hard for me to depart from them. And to be very honest, both father and son, Dr. Emma Thomas and Dr. Samuel Thomas, don't wanted me to go. But still, it was God's call, and I had to leave them, and I was happy. The local church where I grew up prayed for me and helped me to move from there. And the reason I chose Parkwood was two. One was that it is known as the illiterate district of entire India. And second thing, it's known as the, this area is a regional hub for human trafficking, especially child trafficking. And that's where my heart was to work with children, rescue and all. And I didn't have this in mind, but to be very honest, just after this interview, I am traveling towards Northeast because we have recently rescued one 14-year-old girl from child marriage, abuse, and as well as child labor. And I have to drop her to her aunt's home. She's a Christian, and she's willing to take her in. And that's a blessing. And I enjoy doing this thing. Rescuing and restoring, that's what I believe God has called me to.
And I noticed from your website, for your ministry, you have a mission school, an orphan home, youth camps, community development, outreach programs, medical camps, a lot of stuff going on there.
Yes, medical camp we do when God brings people like Dr. Tom Hurley from Canada. It's known as Health Teams International. And I had privilege to host him twice. And sometimes we do medical assistance in our capability when we can do. But rest, like schools, it's everyday business for us. Taking care of orphans, rescuing children from child labor is everyday business for us. We have a small assembly, we call it Brethren Assembly, and we do so have a congregation within us where we serve the Lord and worship the Lord.
So our listeners can learn all about the work of Everett Mission by going to your website, which is everettmission.org, E-V-E-R-E-T-T, mission.org. Would you share, Brother Alex, the statistics? How many orphans are in India or in your region?
I can share about India. As per UNICEF, it says that it's 31 plus million orphans. And, according to the local, like Indian studies, it's most of them have parents and all. But 20 million are the children we have to concentrate. 20 million children are orphans. And out of 20 million children, like 4% of the population, like 4% of the entire population of India is orphans. Children are orphans. Out of that, 0.3% are complete orphans. Rest are abandoned by their parents. But 0.3% are the children whose both parents, either father and mother, both died. And so when I see this 4% and when I see 0.3%, and I see there is a hope because as per the present statistics in India, 2.5% Christians are there, and we need only 4% to be aware and take these children into the home. And to be very honest, we have Hindus. Other people, those who are atheists, Hindus, even they are taking children into homes. And we can do it. If we can come together, Christians can be aware. They can bring one children. It's not a big number for me now because God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for him. That's what I learned in my childhood. Nothing is too hard for the Lord.
That's right. So, Brother Alex, before we wrap up here, what is on your heart for our listeners to know?
My heart is that every children, doesn't matter which country they reside, Being an Indian, I have special heart for India. But when it comes to children, anywhere in the world, if they need family, we should be there to be a family. Church should stand up. Believers should stand up. Instead of preaching gospel, I think they should embody gospel. This is the time. And this is the time that we should come together and look that we can have a world without orphans.
And Brother Alex, you are also an Orphan Sunday coordinator for India. And I always talk about on this show the importance of the church to observe Orphan Sunday. I'm a coordinator here in the States. What impact have you seen that Orphan Sunday has had on the church in India?
Before I share about Orphan Sunday's impact, I would like to concentrate on adoptions happen in India.
Yes.
Because that I can relate with Orphan Sunday. You know, 2010 was the highest adoptions we had. It was like adoption within country was 5,693 and international adoption was 628. But it's going low. Like 2014 and 15, we had only 3,988 adoption in India and 374 international adoption. 15 and 16, it's 3,011 only. When I say 15 and 16, 14 and 15, this all statistic is from April to March. That's what our financial and all accounts go. And 666 international, which was little good. We hope and pray that Orphan Sunday comes as a tool in church. They realize that we have to bring these children. Orphan Sunday means praying for them, bringing them into families, and bringing awareness within the families, within the church, within the community we live, within the country we live. And I still remember I took that responsibility in 2010 to be an Orphan Sunday coordinator in India. And I went to a few churches. One or two churches encouraged me, and few churches, they said, like, very straight, Alex, we already have so many days. Why should we have an Orphan Sunday? There are so many orphanages. Let them do that work. Why should church involve in that? And I was really discouraged, very much discouraged. But I remember in 2013 or 14, I had privilege to go to my church where I grew up, Emmanuel Church, and they were having a pastor's conference. During pastor conference, Dr. Samuel Thomas allowed me to speak about Orphan Sunday. And he started like this, that we cannot find any other ambassador for orphans like Alex, and it's a privilege to have him here. And I was able to share about Orphan Sunday. They have more than many churches, I think more than 30,000-35,000 churches. And so many church representatives here, there, they all agreed that they will observe Orphan Sunday, they will pray for Orphan Sunday. And last year, we had more than 4,500 churches observing Orphan Sunday.
Wonderful.
And many pastors, recently one pastor nearby our place, Malda, has come for adoption. He has adopted one boy, and it's great to see. Because for me, the life of one child matters.
That's
and,
right.
I'm happy. I'm blessed that many children have been placed into family. And I'm so happy.
Yes, me too. Now, I want to save a little bit of time here at the end. We're running down to the wire, but I want to be able to have your children sing for us. So we're going to close on that song. But I want to thank you, Brother Alex, for joining us today. I want to let our listeners know, please go to Amazon.com and look for Brother Alex's book, The Wide Roads of Mumbai. And if you want any other information, you can go to my website, justicefororphansny.org.
I am decided to follow Jesus. I am decided to follow Jesus. I am decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No turning back, no turning back. The world before me. darling back, not running back. Not running back, not running back.
Oh, wonderful. I hope you can hear my applause. That was such a blessing. Thank you so much for joining us today and for everything that you're doing, surrendering to the Lord and serving the people of India and serving the orphan.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. And appreciate it. And it's a privilege again. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, too. God bless you, too, Brother Alex.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.